Block.
Previously on the V Spot. When I seal this deal, I'm going to rule Blog Talk Radio. Nobody will be able to stop me. Hey, what do you think you're doing in here? These records are private. Eric, what did they do to you? Nobody crosses Dr. Victator. Nobody. And now, the thrilling conclusion. It's the V-Spot Late Night. I'm your host, Dr. Victator. My co-host is Neil Foster. The V-Spot is sponsored by Planet Victator Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Victator. All right, we're on. The show's taking the new action-oriented format. I think Eric's dead.
Eric is one of the most important characters we had.
Don't worry, we're going to bring in his cousin.
Not Eric, too?
No, he has a cousin. Actually, Kurt to me, he really does have a cousin. Neil, we got any callers?
Yes.
Okay, put him in.
He should be in.
Eric.
No,
is this Eric
Harpo.
Or Mike?
It's Mike.
Hey, so do I call you Mike or Harpo or what?
You know what? I've been Harpo for this long. Let's roll with it.
All right, then. And I'm the Lord God Reverend Dr. Victator. Esquire.
Yeah, congratulations on the new niece.
Oh, thanks. She's a good little baby. The boys are jealous and are expressing it in very strange ways.
Do we need to go into details?
Okay, the oldest one's just being kind of a butthole about stuff, you know? He's a good kid normally, but he gets really jealous and he doesn't even know he's jealous.
Sweet.
The three-year-old's decided he's still the baby. Now, what do babies do? They drink bottles, and they poop on themselves. Well, Connor ain't drinking bottles.
Oh, no.
Well, he has pull-ups.
Because
he still wets the bed. And the other night, he said, I want to wear a pull-up. And I said, no, you're not going to wear the pull-up. You're 3 years old. You're not going to wear it until you go to bed. And he told me and his mom, he said, if you won't put it on me, I'll put it on myself. So I watched him take off his underpants, take a pair of pull-ups, and put them on correctly.
I'm a big kid now.
Yeah, I don't even know what to think. I'm just looking at him, and I'm like, you know, I said, Connor, I admire your dedication to being sorry as hell.
It's like Bud Bundy.
Okay, so I wanted to have a good Dallas show, you know, and you're the one that got me hooked on it.
Oh, man. It's the best show ever.
It really is. It is a great show.
Let's start with season one and work our way up.
Okay.
And now when I say season one, we'll go ahead and do it how the stupid DVDs do it, as season one was the mini series.
Okay, the thing is, it's really impressive how, because, you know, most TV shows, when they go to the first episode, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of malformed. Dallas is pretty much, a lot of the characters are almost fully formed from the start.
Yeah, they just jump right in, you know, hit the ground with both feet going, and it was like, you know, you knew within 5 minutes that JR was an absolute son of a bitch.
The only episode I really hate from season one or the miniseries is The Winds of Vengeance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it had a couple of cool things, but by and large, yeah, that's really not a good episode. You know,
I called it The Winds of, I remember I just referred to it myself as The Rakes of Wrath.
Did that go all the way to California, too?
The best thing about that episode, and this really speaks to the lack of quality of the episode, is Brian Dennehy as a guest star, as a fat guy.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you got this other guy, you know, and The funny, you know, the thing about the episode is, I can't believe that JR didn't have the, and I never understood Miss Ellie's logic for letting them go.
Yeah, you know, that didn't make much sense. You know, a lot of things Miss Ellie did in the first, like, two or three seasons, you look back at it now and you're just like, you know, for somebody who is seemingly, you know, at least average intelligence, she has shit for brains.
Yeah, and those early episodes, you could tell they really couldn't figure out if Miss Ellie was evil or not.
Yeah, and what I was really hoping for, like, when I went back and watched it, is that short-lived Ray and JR tag team of going out and getting laid. I was kind of hoping that would be something that can carry them through for a couple of seasons. But, like, literally, like, three or four episodes later, it's over.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I liked in their last episode, like, because, you know, I mean, this is going way ahead to season 12, which I just endured. Ray came back, and, Neil, is Eric on?
Yes, he should be. I don't think he said anything yet.
All right. Hey, guys. Hey, Victor. Hey, Harpo.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, what's up, Eric?
Hey.
Yeah, I don't
he's
know if you know
the answer. He's not dead, folks.
It's like Eric lived. The contract negotiations with Vix fell through.
It was a dream.
Oh, man. That's a deal breaker, man. You get Vix on here, I'm out of here.
Anyway, but in season 12, when Ray's leaving, like his actual finale, because the one they did for him in season 11 sucked so bad.
They did a mulligan.
Yeah, so he comes back, and at the end of it, he's telling everybody goodbye, and he tells JR, you know, and they're reminiscing about chasing pussy in Waco.
Yeah,
sort of
you remember how that almost
kind
ended
of
up getting us all killed?
Yeah, and the thing about it is, Ray tried to be JR's friend. Like, JR went out of his way to piss off Ray when he did not have to.
The best is the camping trip with Jock and the boys, and the whole time JR is just pissing him on it. I shouldn't have brought him, Daddy. Just a hired hand. Nothing but a hired hand. He has no business here.
And it's like, it's one of these things. Do you remember the episode of Futurama with Leela when she was dating the plastic surgeon?
Yeah.
And this guy mentions, he says, you know, I can make sure nobody ever makes fun of you again. And Leela says, what, you mean the blind kid? I broke his nose three times. It doesn't work. And that's what I think of with Ray and JR. He's been shot.
It's sad.
I mean, I think he was in canon, he was shot at least five times.
You can tell in the first season after the miniseries, they really know what to do with Ray. He just kind of hung around after he stopped being a scumbag, but before he really got a pawn of his own.
Yeah, I mean, they really...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, Ray's face turn really didn't start until... You know, what was the country singer he was banging that JR got together
Captain
with?
Captain Jane Away.
Yeah, Kate Mulgrew, yeah. And Ray just throws like a freaking Santino-level beating down on him. He's just pounding the piss out of him, just like Sonny beating up Carlo in Godfather.
Overacting,
man,
yelling
the best thing with Larry Hagman does such a great job of selling a beating because of his sitcom training. And when he walks in and this, like, cracks me up, he's like, Ray, Ray, Ray!
Yeah, and it's like he just knows it's going to happen. And it's like, and with each step he takes, that Ray takes toward the JR's voice goes up, like, five octaves. And then
and the thing about it is, there was no reason.
Mashes him.
Yeah, it's one of those things, there was really no reason for him to do this. He gained nothing from it. He just gained a very dedicated enemy.
And this is why Ray Kress will
always
be the greatest baby face on Dallas. Ray Kress banged his own niece and was still a fan favorite.
The best thing about it is that they did this stuff where, I swear to God, they did acknowledge it one time in, like, season 6 or was it 7? When
kind of
JR was black... What was the name of that guy he was blackmailing?
Edgar Randolph.
Edgar Randolph.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Ray and him are investigating. Ray and Donna are investigating. I always say Dallas had, like, a little sub-show of detectives. So, first it was Bobby Ewing, P.I., which became Ewing to Ewing, which became Krebs and Wife, which eventually became JR's Law. So anyway, they're investigating Edgar Randolph. Ray finds out that he raped a kid when he was like a teenager, and Ray's like this, fuck it, I'm out. And they ask Ray, they say, Ray, haven't you ever done anything you deeply regret that you would do anything to change? And Ray just looks at the ground, and you can tell he's thinking of Lucy.
Maybe. That's your interpretation. Yeah.
Well,
you know, let he who has not banged his own niece cast the first stone.
Oh, yeah. In season 11, he's trying to raise Charlie, you know, and he's like, Charlie, sex is a very complicated thing. You get in relationships, you get dumped, and when you're going in a tailspin, you bang your boss's 17-year-old granddaughter, who turns out to be your niece. I didn't know she was my niece, I swear to God!
Yeah. The thing is, when I started watching Reunions of Dallas, I started, like, in season 3, so I had no idea what happened to Ray and Lucy. I just read in line one day, and I was like, what? Ray and Lucy? I thought they had a nice platonic relationship. I didn't know they were going on the bar in season 1 or the miniseries.
It's very strange, though, because, I mean, in the first season of the miniseries, everyone is evil.
Yeah.
Except for
Bobby. None of them have redeeming qualities.
You know, and eventually you start trying to soften them up. And, you know, it's funny. One of the things from your reviews was you really hate Sue Ellen.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Like, those first few seasons, she, like, as soon as they start, like, giving you, like, any shred to grab onto of her humanity, she just takes it and shits all over it. And you're just like, oh, God, what a bitch.
She really does. Okay, I'm reading it, and when I start watching the show, it's like, I don't know what Harpo's talking about. She doesn't seem that bad. She seems like a fairly well-rounded character. And, I mean, by the time she leaves in season 12, I call her Saint Sue Ellen.
That's a good point. I think Sue Ellen was best the first few seasons when she was kind of bitchy and messed up, when she kind of became a full-fledged good girl character. Babyface, she just was too annoying.
I mean, I hate her. I hated her so bad by the last season. And the thing about it is, she talks about JR. Now, I'm not saying that it's good to be cheated on, but the way Sue Ellen talks, you would think she was in the burning bed or something.
You know, and the worst thing is like, as unlikable as Sue Ellen was, like, I really wanted to like Dusty Farlow. But I can't respect any man that would be with Sue Ellen other than JR, because he's with her and doesn't care.
Yeah, to a lesser extent. I like when she tried to bang Cliff in season 12 to get revenge, or season 11, and Cliff's like, no, I'm not doing that. And she's like, come
there,
on, Cliff,
darling.
And Cliff is like, leave me alone, bitch, what the hell did I just say?
Yeah, you know, the best part about the whole Sue Ellen's infidelity with Dusty is when JR calls him out and says, meet me at the Cotton Bowl. See, that is the most gangster thing ever. You're going to have him meet you at the 50-yard line of a football field.
That was a really great scene.
And the thing about it is, if somebody dared me to meet them on the 50-yard line of Legion Field or something, I wouldn't care if I hated this person. I'd have to think, this dude's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's the major pull.
Yeah,
that was
like
a major... That was like a major, hey, we're the number one show on TV, let's just film a scene in the middle of a Cotton Bowl for no reason, and FDR just, hey, Dusty Farlow, you can't have sex or impotence, your dad has sex with Sue Ellen, but you can't buy.
Okay, speaking of Dallas and football, Harpo, have you read the new timeline?
No, I haven't.
Okay, JR loses his money by investing in the XFL.
Sweet.
The thing is, it was funny. Me and Eric talked about this on the first episode. It's a funny thing to do, but I can't imagine JR tying up every penny he has into the XFL.
You know, that's more like something I would see Ray doing, not JR.
Yeah, I just can't picture that. And Cliff invested in Google, which Eric correctly compared to Scooter from The Muppet Show.
In the Muppet movie, he's in Google.
Yeah.
That's the thing now, I guess, with these properties. Some character had something to do with Google, and like...
Yeah, Scooter's walking around in Google.
Yeah.
That's funny, because it's like, I always imagine, like, Cliff, for whatever reason, would just absolutely just one day snap and just shoot himself. I don't know why. I think it's because everything he touched crumbled.
Well,
and he would just reach that breaking point.
The funny thing about Cliff is JR would go around calling Cliff an idiot, and the funny thing is he would have to go to greater extremes to take Cliff down each time.
Yeah, because Cliff, every time Cliff had to climb back up the ladder, he'd climb up like two or three rungs above where he previously fell, and that would just make the fall that much more crushing.
And the thing about Cliff is actually, it's one of these things, you know, oh, Cliff, you're a loser. When you think about the fact that he started off in poverty with Digger Barnes for a dad, and he eventually became a candidate for Congress, you know, Cliff's doing all right.
Yes, when you think about Dallas, only really Jock and Cliff Barnes are the only really people that came up from nothing to something with no help. I don't count, like, Pam and Sue Ellen getting married.
The thing about Digger. Oh, yeah, I liked how they brought in that guy when he was trying to help this old dude get some oil or something on his land, and Cliff was just pissing money away on Dandy Dandridge.
Yes, a few years later, yeah.
Okay, Harper, let me ask you, what do you think Jock would think of Clayton Farlow?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What do you think Jock would think of Clayton Farlow?
I think initially there'd be like the whole alpha male thing, and then after they had like a belt or two, then I think Jock would warm up to him, and then I think they would probably end up going fishing and hunting together, you know, maybe riding dirt bikes.
My assumption is that Clayton is kind of like a predator to keep away lesser old dudes from going after Miss Ellie, because you know, for an old lady, Miss Ellie's the prime real estate.
Yeah, there's all kinds of dudes wanting to plant their flag there.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of things. So Clayton, I think even JR realizes this. Do you remember the storyline when they had the fake Jock show up?
Oh, yeah. Where he supposedly survived the helicopter crash and had plastic surgery.
And they did all this shit, and I have to think that something happened. I think they intended him to be Jock because they did way too much shit for him not to be.
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened.
Neil, you still there? Do you remember what you said when Jock is laying in a fever, and it's like, and then my son JR was shot by his sister-in-law.
He's got to tell all this stuff to this guy to try to pass it to me. He's got to know all the backstories of how many seasons?
Seven. Or nine.
There's a scene where that fake Jock went to Taylor, and he knew who his Taylor was. So he got us to get real Jock was hallucinating and talking about his Taylor.
No, it's like, and there was a time when all this stuff happened, I don't think it really counts. It felt like it kind of real, even though, hold on, you might want to get a pen and paper for this. I still got a lot more to go.
Let me tell you about this. Neil, how much time do we got left?
12 minutes.
Okay, we have to go out for a promo, and then we'll finish.
All right.
They come from a time before horsepower. They come from a time before cosmic forces. They are a breed apart. They are the old breed, and they are here to reclaim what they have lost. Rise of an Old Breed starts April 2nd along with Duel Devil Weekend Edition. Only at horsepowerthemovie.blogspot.com. Okay, we're back with the Velvety Tones of Dr. Victator. Okay, Eric, Harpo, what would you consider to be the beginning of the show's downslide in quality?
Well, for me personally, it's got to be Donna Reed showing up out of nowhere and being Miss Ellie. I up until that point, by then I was like 11, I was just kind of starting to figure things out. And I had already, I didn't give a damn that they replaced Gary. I didn't give a damn that they had replaced Kristen, twice? And it got, replacing Miss Ellie, though, that was just sacrilege.
And the thing about it is, Donna Reed played her differently, and that was kind of one of the things about it, that it really, I mean, she seemed like a nice enough lady, so you can't really hate her.
Well, Larry Hagman sure as hell hated her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I heard about that. And the weird thing is, you hear Larry Hagman talk about it, and he sounds like JR.
He, like, slips into JR when he talks about her.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. It's like you don't even know, like he's like he was doing the scheming and stuff. What about you, Eric?
I guess after the first season after the Dream Season, I mean, the Dream Season was pretty not good, but I liked the season after it with Fake Jock and JR working with terrorist Speedy Calhoun to bomb fields in Saudi Arabia. I kind of liked that season, so I guess any season after that was really downhill.
Yeah. The thing about the Dream Season, I compared Season 10 to the Dream Season, or I don't even know how they do seasons on this set, but the post-Dream Season. Okay, the Dream Season felt like a show that was a completely different show going on. Dallas, B.D. Calhoun, and the other, what was the other big thing in the, and oh yeah, the Wes Parmalee, that feels like a Dallas storyline that's gone crazy, but it felt like a Dallas storyline.
Yes, pretty much. The Dream Season, it seemed like it wasn't really going anywhere. You know what reminds me of in some wrestling analogy? WCW after Vince Russo for the first time and Kevin Sullivan took over. I don't know why.
It's just killing time.
Yes. Vince Russo was horrible and Kevin Sullivan was also bad but more boring.
Well,
didn't you say that they took aspects from the Dream Season?
Okay, here's the thing. Well, that's where they introduced Wes Parmalee. It was like, they had the nerve to bring back the old guy. They had a nerve to spring over a Dream Season storyline.
Isn't that what I said about, like, with Super Mario Bros. 2, the U.S. version? Like, wait a minute. Wasn't that an enemy from the Dream game? How's he existing in Mushroom Kingdom?
And I said, that's what he based the Dream on.
Yeah, I think Ray made his house in the Dream Season, his new house.
Okay, one of the stranger things was that the only time they ever made a big continuity mistake of the Dream Season was, JR's detective was killed by Angelica Nero, and they mentioned that. They didn't mention Angelica Nero, they mentioned he was still dead. The thing about, I was going to ask your opinions on this with Season 3, the season when JR got shot. The strange thing about it is, I feel like in some ways that was, every non-JR storyline felt very weak.
Yeah, that's a strange season when you think about it. I mean, it's probably the most successful one, but after Derek got shot, for some reason I don't remember that much about it, that particular season.
It felt like they toned it down on JR, because JR was really becoming a monster just taking over the show. Like, Pam had this storyline where this guy from a department store was trying to sleep with her or something, and Bobby was doing I don't even know what the hell.
He was a state senator or something.
He was a state senator, and Cliff was his... I like how Cliff Barnes forgot what political party he was in.
Well, and here's the thing about Season 3. The bar had been set so high after Season 2. I mean, you had... how many different things? You had JR banging Kristen. You had Sue Ellen banging Dusty Farlow. You had Miss Ellie getting a mastectomy.
The Sue Ellen Cliff conclusion, they had a paternity test.
Yeah, the paternity test. You had Jenna Wade come back.
Yeah.
Gary come back. Then JR and Sue Ellen finally decide they're going to get divorced. Then Jock gets arrested for a murder that it turned out that Digger actually did. And then
Digger
dying. I mean, that's a lot of storyline to burn through. You had JR selling all the Asian oil leases. And then all of a sudden, you know, how the hell do you follow that? You know, you got to bring it down a little bit. And so I think what they'd done.
No, you can go on.
Okay, I think what they did was they got to that point where they were like, okay, we are literally running out of crazy shit for this guy to do, so we need to dial it down. Well, let's kind of put everybody else out in the open, and JR will just kind of be working in the background.
Yes,
my favorite post.
How many things from that season I don't really remember, considering that's the classic era Pop Pops remembered a lot. I mean, like, who remembers Sue Ellen's affair with Clint Ogleton? Or JR and that girl with the white hair that he liked for 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you know, why is JR letting this white-haired old lady clown him? It's Ric Flair-looking bitch.
Leslie Stewart or something.
You know, he's just doing this. You know, she's like, oh, I like to record people's conversations. And I remember I was thinking, isn't that not admissible in court?
You know, the one thing season 3 did give us?
What's
I am to cop.
Yes.
Oh, God. I thought, when
That's
I saw that clip as being, you know, by itself, I thought that there was some, like, Japanese crime lord or something. And then Jock was, like, doubling as him or something, which I thought, that, which had been awesome.
I almost like that better. Yes.
You know,
that was the best thing about that season. Let's see, that and the famous scene with Bobby, you know, real power is something to take.
Oh, yeah.
And what's
like,
sad
you know,
about that? What's sad about the third season is
you could just watch as the season goes on, you could just watch Jim Davis just deteriorating. And it gets
yeah,
to the
really
point
is.
Like where he's just sitting down.
You really can. Like, you see in his last scene that he's clearly wearing a wig.
Yeah.
It sucks for him to die, you know. And I mean, if they had had that, I don't think, I mean, they made the right decision keeping him dead. One thing I think might have hurt the show long term was that they, when Jim Davis died, they had to do their trump card storyline.
Yeah,
you know,
they had to burn it. I mean, they had to get it through because I mean, Patrick Duffy was saying that during that last season they moved Jim's dressing room like literally out onto the set, and that him and Larry would like go and pick him up and carry him out for his scenes.
Yeah, so that's
actually probably his best season, even though he was sick.
Yeah, and what does that say about him as an actor? Dude was dying, and he was acting circles around everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, he carried himself just on presence, too. I mean, he felt
that's
like a
bad.
Man. I mean,
that
he
the
felt
lottery,
like a
I'm buying his car.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Jim Davis was, dude, when you saw him in the scene, like, I always say this now that, you know, and I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily because I'm getting old, but it really feels like when you watch TV now, like, you'll see an old dude, but they don't feel like the man. You
yeah,
know?
When Jock would come on the screen, I would sit up straighter.
Yeah, you don't,
yeah.
You wouldn't care if he was in a wheelchair or something. You wouldn't fuck with him on a bet.
Yeah, and that's what the from back from season 1 from the barbecue, when him and Digger are going at it, and you're just like, you're so torn because they're just the two most grizzled old bastards ever, and you're just like, holy crap.
And the thing
you're like
that
watching
is,
Superman fight himself.
I feel like the thing with Jock was, with Digger, is that Digger had probably put Jock through so much shit over the years before we even got to the first season. That, you know, and I mean, I know what this is like, you know, because if you ever had a relative that's a drunk or a drug addict or something, you get to the point where you just treat them like garbage because they put you through so much over the years. And it's weird, you know, and I always liked how Cliff kind of canonized Digger after he died, but before Digger died, Cliff kind of had a fuck him attitude.
Yes, Cliff didn't really, yeah. wasn't really on team with him that much. That I don't remember.
He helped him out. There was this. Okay, guys, this has been a very good show. Would y'all like to try this again next week?
Yeah, absolutely.
See ya.
Okay, that's cool. We will be back on Friday with a special Saved by the Bell Bonanza, the Screech Files. Working on my radio announcer voice. It was great having you here, Harpo. You too, Eric. Neil,
thanks.
Play us
hey,
out.
Thanks.
There, that
all. So, do you think
that all
where that keeps all the bodies?
Yeah, Neil.
What?
I was going to say, there, that all hold little SOBs. Dictator in trouble.
Yep.
Okay, close us out.
All right.